This is the Marketing Development Podcast, brought to you by the Marketing Development Academy, the online community designed to help you develop your marketing business, skills, and career by exploring the world of marketing and entrepreneurship. Here is your host, Pete Everett.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined again by the lovely Stephanie Fateni, all the way from Malta. Stephanie, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, Pete. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem at all. It's really good to connect again. I know we're both part of Chris Ducker's Youpreneur ecosystem, so we have met a few times since the last time we spoke. And there'll be a link in the show notes to your previous episode, which was all about SEO. But do you just want to give a quick introduction as to who you are and what the sort of things that you do is? I think that's the right way to word that question.
Yes, right. So I'm a coach. So I help people basically build a blog that gets traffic. I help people build their funnels. So basically, I help them get leads and traffic from their website. It's mostly SEO based, but of course content and the way you then spread that content is a big part of it as well. My background is actually programming, so I used to be a programmer. Mm-hmm. And then I set up an agency with my husband, so I ran my own full service agency with my husband for over 10 years and then moved everything online, streamlined the team, and it's been 2 years now that the agency has actually run as a content agency purely online. So that's where I'm at today, coaching and doing a little bit of done for you through the agency.
Brilliant. And I know that if people want more information about that, we both did, or well, you did, a complete deep dive into on-page SEO, which was back about, I guess it's about a year ago. It seems weird that it was that long ago since you were on the show.
Yes, it's been a while.
So if you want to hear about the SEO part of what Stephanie can do, check out the other episode. The link will be in the show notes. Because in the last 3 weeks, the world has changed unrecognizably, really. So at the time of recording, it's the middle of March 2020. The UK has been in lockdown for coronavirus for the past 3 days. Malta has been in lockdown for the past 2 weeks or so, and the world has changed. So how are you getting on with the new sort of order of things?
Well, I must admit, the first few days were a bit confusing. See, I've been working from home completely, like exclusively from the home office for a couple of years now. And having everyone at home was a little bit disorienting. But we've settled into a new routine. I think you just have to accept that it's not business as usual. And in order to stay productive, you just need to sort of work around and, you know, make sure everybody's routines kind of slot into place so that everybody can stay productive. You know, the kids at school and my husband is sort of not exactly working right now, but he's sort of creating projects remotely. So yeah, the way we slot into each other's timetables makes a big difference.
Yeah, we're still figuring that out. So as I say, we've been in lockdown now for 3 days. My wife has taken the lead on the homeschooling with our children. And at the moment, we're still yet to sort of figure out how exactly she gets some work into her day, because she has some things that she needs to do. My schedule was quite busy this week, so that hasn't helped. But from next week, hopefully we'll hit a bit better rhythm with it. But we're just all in this time of flex. And I know that you've been... Or people have been reaching out to you because you deliver courses online. That's one of the things that you do. And people have been reaching out to you about things that they can possibly do as they're in this time of flex with coronavirus going on. And I guess these are things that actually apply to business any time. It's just that they're being triggered by the current situation globally.
Indeed, yes. A lot of people, even though maybe they were in marketing and they're very used to, you know, jumping onto new technology, they kind of were not working remotely very much. So they were still meeting their clients face to face a lot. And just being forced to stay at home is like you kind of scramble to create tools and systems and try to service your clients. So yes, I've been contacted by a few people who have been struggling with this because they know that I've been doing it for a while, and I'm also a bit of a tool junkie, so they know I've probably tried it if there's a tool out there that they're looking at.
A tool junkie, I love it. Some friends of mine were WhatsApping me last night because they want to have a virtual beer, and they were talking about the tools that we could use to do this. And I said, we'll jump on Zoom. And then everybody's, oh, but you only get 40 minutes unless you pay for Zoom. And we're sort of like, well, I pay for Zoom. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll have a beer. It'll be fine. So what are sort of your best top tips then? Give us your three best top tips for working from home so that people can hit the ground running.
So yes, the most important thing I think is the way you actually get up in the morning at the same time. And, you know, you kind of still disciplined about your day. So you wake up. I have a morning routine where I kind of like to read my personal and business goals in the morning. I just read them to kind of center myself and know what I'm going to prioritize, because sometimes in the morning, you know, if you go straight into your phone and your social media, you kind of end up with a bit of a cloudy head. So I like to still stay off social media, and I still get up, usual things, you know, wash and get dressed. I find that actually getting dressed and doing my hair and putting a little bit of makeup on is one of the things that makes me more productive, because I kind of take my day more seriously if I have bothered doing that. And it's very tempting, I think, in these days, because, you know, now you have the comfort of staying at home. So it's very tempting to just, you know, sit around in your slippers and, you know, and your comfies and maybe not do your hair. And, you know, you don't feel the same and you're not as productive. So it's important, I think, to also have, you know, your time slots. So I actually have days. So I have themes for my days. So for instance, Monday is my writing day. That's when I get clients writing and my own writing done. And Tuesday I call client happiness day. So if I need to reach out to clients, if I need to, you know, if I need to do something that I know adds value to the way I'm servicing a client, I will schedule it for that day. So I literally sit down and think, okay, client happiness day today. How am I going to make, I look at my client list and I say, how am I going to make them happier? And I just literally work on that. And it means reaching out. Sometimes it means clarifying an issue with the accountant. So it can really vary. And then, you know, I have my content creation days, which is when I do lives and I prepare my courses. So that would be Wednesday, and Thursday I coach. So I have a day of coaching, and Friday is usually just catch up day. So anything I didn't manage to squeeze into my week is going to go on Friday. And that usually involves a call with the accountant, because he's my least favorite thing to do. So I just keep pushing it to the end of the week, usually.
No offense to your accountant in that at all.
No, I love him to bits in the sense that he keeps me in line. So he reminds me about stuff I need to do. But it will always get done on the last day of the week, because I enjoy all the other stuff so much more.
And I think there is an important point there. Sorry to interrupt. I was just going to say, I think there is an important point there, which is, you know, you've taken 20% of your time to make sure you've got a space to catch up, to do all those things that you can't do. Because if you fill your schedule to 100%, then if anything slips, which is far more likely to happen when you're working in the home with the children around you, et cetera, then all of a sudden you've got a problem. So actually making that space to be able to catch up is quite important.
Yes, absolutely. And I think also trying to become a little bit better at knowing how long you take to do stuff. I was absolutely terrible at this. You know, I'd schedule an hour and then realize, oh my goodness, I need 3 hours to create a long sales page, or, you know, sometimes when you write your own stuff as well, you get very finicky about it and you can take longer than normal. So I think knowing how long you actually take to do something really makes a big difference, and giving yourself a little bit of space. A good tip that really, really helped me is I use the Pomodoro technique. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I am, but if you want to, give it just a quick explanation for the people listening, that'd be awesome.
Right. So it's basically, I do it in 25-minute slots. So if I'm doing something like writing an article or doing social media posts, I find that 25-minute slots work just fine. So it's basically where you clock off 25 minutes. Some people do 50 minutes. I will use 50 minutes if I know it's sort of a longer project. But the idea is that you block off a Pomodoro, which is, I'm not sure how long it is officially, actually. Is it the 20 minutes or the 51 that is official?
I think it's the 21 that's the official time. Yeah, I think it does work in sort of half-hour chunks.
Excellent. Yeah, that's right. Because then after the 25 minutes, you have a 5-minute break. And it's amazing that when you really do stick to the 5-minute breaks, you feel so much more refreshed at the end of the day. But what I find is that when you can schedule so basically you spend these 25 minutes, the first 5 minutes you plan what you're going to do, and then you do like 20 minutes of just working right straight on without taking a break. And then after the full 25 minutes, you have your 5-minute break. And then, so what I found is that when I started using it very meticulously and actually using a timer, and then you kind of realize how long it takes you. So I actually plan my day in Pomodoros. It's quite funny because I actually draw little tomatoes next to my to-do list.
Why tomatoes?
Because that's what Pomodoro means. Pomodoro means the tomato technique.
Does it really? I never knew that.
Yes. And in fact, he called it the Pomodoro technique because he used to use a kitchen tomato timer. You know, these little tomato-shaped timers.
In our house, then, it would be the chicken technique. it's a chicken timer.
How long does it take the chicken to cross the road? Pomodoro. Well, now it would take a lot less because there's probably no cars on the road. Not here, at least.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's very quiet outside here as well. So, so the Pomodoro technique.
That's right. So planning the day in 25-minute chunks is very useful even right now because, you know, every 25 minutes when I have that 5-minute break, I will actually get up and go and say hello to my husband and my daughter. I get to move around a bit. And they also get used to the fact that I'm going to sort of pop out of my office regularly, but please wait until I finish sort of that slot of time. So it's going to help you to know how long it takes to do something. And it helps others gauge when they can actually speak to you. I used to use this when I had 10 people in the office, like lining up to ask me questions about projects. And I just used to put the timer on my screen. So anyone that came behind me to actually ask me a question could see, you know, the timer there, and they would know when my next 5-minute break is. So they would know to go away and come back in 5 minutes. So they wouldn't actually disturb me, which made an amazing difference to my productivity.
That is a really good tip, actually. And ultimately, particularly if you employ this in the home, if you are used to working in an office setting, you know, you sort of naturally have these breaks anyway. Maybe you don't time them to 30 minutes, but you know, you will go to the staff room or wherever to make yourself a coffee, and it'll take you 5 minutes to do so, and you'll interact with somebody while you're there. Or I don't know, you might the last agency I worked in, we had two buildings, so you know, you would walk across the car park to the other building and then up the stair, and you were always moving around and having these kind of micro social interactions, which of course if you're at home locking yourself in a room so away from the children, you don't get. And it's really important and good for your mental health that you do try and have some level of interaction like that throughout the day.
Indeed, it really helps. And it's it's quite amazing. When I started doing it, I felt like my stress levels really dropped. Although at the time we were doing, you know, 10 to 14 hour days because we had a very busy client list, it still felt so much better. Although I must, if you're in marketing and you're writing, I found that the 25 minute slots don't work for me when it comes to writing. Because it would take me probably about 25 to 30 minutes to write an article and then, you know, do a little bit of research and plan it. So I found that actually extending it to about 50 minute slots with a 10 minute mm-hmm. break, so kind of doubling up on the Pomodoro, was actually more efficient for me for the articles, because if I stopped for 5 minutes and then went back, then it was going to take me another 5 minutes to remember what I was doing. So depending what you're doing, yeah. if you're doing admin stuff or you're writing social media posts, you know, stuff that you can really get done quite quickly, then the 25 minute slots work beautifully.
You're dead right. But it also does help you to focus the mind as well, because you know you've got a break coming up. So it stops you from doing those things like checking the bank or checking social media or whatever, because you know that within either 25 minutes or 50 minutes, depending on how you're doing it, that, you know, you're going to have a break where you can do that kind of stuff anyway. You know, a friend of mine said to me once, if you always leave something to the last minute, it only takes a minute to do. And absolutely. That's really the kind of the point of this is, you know, you're creating the space to give yourself a focused period of time so that you can get a job done. You need to be realistic about whether it is going to be one run or two, but it also means that then when you look at your day, you're not going to try and cram too many tasks in that day from the outset, because you can already say, right, so vaguely speaking, that's one Pomodoro, that's one Pomodoro, that's two Pomodoros, that's another one Pomodoro. And you know that if you're planning to work for, I don't know, 6 hours that day, well, you can only get to a maximum of 12 Pomodoros, and that's it. Realistically, that is your day full. And then you can then obviously knock other tasks on until tomorrow.
Absolutely. That's a very good way to do it. A very good way to do it.
Fantastic. So that's a great tip. You've given some great tips there about being disciplined about your day, your routine, the way you plan your day, and also the messages that communicates to others in your household. As you say, you know, mum is going to be coming out the office regularly throughout the day. So if you need anything, nothing is going to be that urgent that it can't wait for the next 25 minutes. So what about one of the things that we were also discussing earlier on the pre-call was marketing in this current world that we're in. Marketing isn't seen as an essential service, and that is creating queries and it's creating fear ultimately in those of us that work in marketing, be us freelancers or consultants or agency owners. And you had some thoughts about how this could actually be a good thing in the long run, about how we approach marketing basically as the world starts coming back into sort of circulation. So do you want to unpack that a little bit for us as well?
Yes, a lot of companies, especially the ones that were not financially prepared, you know, some companies do prepare and they do make sure that they have 6 to 12 months of wages. But, you know, certain small businesses are not in a position to do that. So especially now that, you know, businesses are being closed down, marketing kind of goes out of the window a little bit. You know, you can have clients, I've had a couple in the last couple of weeks say, I'm sorry, we have to pause the contract because there is no point for us to invite people to our business when our business is shut. And of course, it makes absolute sense. So yes, in that sense, definitely marketing needs to take kind of second stage. However, there are opportunities in different places. And since there are businesses that still have the liquids that were prepared for this, that maybe are in industries that are not being shut down, maybe they're in healthcare, SEO companies are doing pretty well right now. There are some businesses, especially the ones that require content, that cannot stop, because you know, you cannot stop your content going out. You cannot stop your Google signals because you're going to suffer later. And it's also an opportunity for certain companies. And a lot of my clients are recognizing this, that is, now is the time to really have a good look at the website, you know, check all the content that we wanted to update, make sure that we're actually doing more blog posts so that we get a head start in traffic when actually things start picking up, so, you know, so that you can really capture those purchase ready people that are looking for your kind of services in Google once this is all over, hopefully, you know. So definitely it has a place there.
I guess where that comes to a crunch, though, with people that are potentially most likely freelancers or individual consultants, is that you often have your comfort zone, don't you, which is either copywriting or social media or I don't know, I'm trying to think of things off the top of my head, but you get the point. And actually, in order to go and find these opportunities, you may have to be a little bit more creative about the way that you, that your services fit into your new, you know, these new opportunities. So one idea is you just mentioned healthcare, for example, and you're dead right. We've got a couple of healthcare clients on our books and they are going absolutely nuts right now with the amount of support that they need. Mm-hmm. But if you don't already work with a healthcare client, if you've never done it before, you might need to think about, so how does my skill set fit into that? And just be a little bit more creative with either your pitch or with the services that you can offer. Maybe even offering a bolt-on service alongside that that sort of doubles up the value.
Yes, absolutely. And although maybe you need to do something quickly to sort of get into a different vertical, you can also look at collaborations, perhaps, where, you know, maybe you know somebody who is already well-connected in the health industry, as an example, and maybe has a service which is currently in request that maybe aligns with yours. You know, for instance, if you web designers at the moment maybe don't have as many large projects as they used to, in the sense, you know, there aren't people commissioning 5, 10, 20K projects. But a lot of people are doing upgrades and tweaks. And, you know, they might need help with updating copywriting. They might need to SEO the content. They might also help you sell a copywriting package or a blogging package to actually provide content in the long term on a weekly basis. So definitely looking out for collaborations can really shorten the amount of time it takes you to actually get into a different vertical.
You're dead right. And if you know somebody that's already working in that vertical, then you know, sort of buddying up with them, it's almost like, you know, well, you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours kind of scenario, because you'll already be working in a vertical as well. So with the contacts that you've got, if they need SEO support and you don't currently offer SEO, and you know somebody that does, but they're in healthcare, but you could offer copywriting into healthcare, for example, then, you know, the two of you working together, it's almost like putting together a mini agency model, but just with two freelancers doing it or consultants doing it. There goes the tomato, everybody.
Yes, sorry.
It's all right, don't worry. It's just proving the point. You had it running. it's just about looking at ways that you can pool resources in order to help each other out. One of the things we look at as an agency is we do have the ability to run like very small projects through our workflow, and that at a time like this, that is something that we can rely on quite, you know, on all areas of our business. So ordinarily, a small project to us would be something like, I don't know, a client needs a banner stand doing, or a new leaflet for a show, or whatever it is that they're going through. And we can just zip that through the workflow and it goes, you know, it can sort of pass certain points and only touch certain members of staff and all that kind of thing. And if you've never looked at being able to offer something on a very small scale, Now is a good time to do that. So rather than thinking about, okay, I'm going to do a whole copywriting and PR campaign for you, what does a single piece of copy look like? And how would you go about packaging that up in your process so that you could go to a new client or a referral from an SEO partner or whoever it is and say, right, so this one piece of content, this is what it would need to look like.
Absolutely. That's a fantastic idea. And in fact, yes, I can definitely see that happening in my done for you business as well as the coaching business. I've had to sort of change my packages in a way that they're more bite-sized and sort of easier on the cash flow. But this actually has a positive impact. I don't know if you know, but I actually set up the agency with my husband in 2008, like 3 months before we went into a deep recession. So the timing was fantastic.
Hey, it's impeccable. You probably had a tomato timer set on it.
So what we did, one of the things that really helped actually turn around that difficult time was having like a minimum rate. So what that did, that if somebody booked a job that took an hour or two, which is maybe updating a website page with a few images and some copy, or, you know, creating one article, for instance, we had a minimum rate. So let's say, I believe in those days, our minimum rate was about 50 euros. So even if you ordered a 20 minute job, you paid for an hour. And just adding that and leaving all the other prices the same actually made a massive difference to our cash flow. It made a big difference to the amount of clients on our list, because then once they've worked with you on one or two small things, you know, when their cash flow is better, they're going to want more stuff. So I think it's a good thing to do right now for two reasons. You're going to get more for each hour that you sell. Mm-hmm. If you're really careful. You need to be very careful with your systems and your processes, because of course, having more clients means that you need to do more admin, you need to process people more quickly and more efficiently. So that's definitely important. But I think in the long run, it will also add more people to your client list. And when things start improving, then you have more people to reach out to actually kickstart your business and take it back to where it was before. So definitely bite-sized is the way to go right now, and see it as a relationship builder. Don't see it as a sales pitch.
That is a very good next point, actually, because, you know, a lot of us have relied our sort of current entire business on referrals, and selling to people seems like it's quite a scary thing to go and do, particularly at a time when the economy isn't brilliant and it can feel a little awkward and all of that kind of stuff. But you're dead right to actually see something as a relationship builder. Well, look, I can help you out, and you know, it's going to cost 50 euros or 70 quid or whatever it might be. That is, you know, rather than a sale, it's a helpful transaction, but they're now a client on your books, and you start to get an insight into their business. And when things do start to pick up, you can continue that discussion. I think that's a really excellent point.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, of course, if you're careful and, you know, you make sure that you also log, I think, all the people you talk to, because people are talking more, they're spending more time online. And maybe sometimes they may sort of maybe misinterpret what you do, and they're not a perfect match as a client, but they can develop to be one in the long run. So kind of do your due diligence and keep things on record when it comes to CRM, or, you know, make sure that you keep a list of maybe prospects that didn't go through, and also people that actually buy little jobs from you, so that when the time is right, you can reach out to these people. Funnily enough, a lot of the high value programs that I sell online are actually purchased by people who did not buy from me from a previous sales call.
Really?
Yes.
That's really interesting. That is really interesting. I wonder why that is. Anyway, I'm just musing now.
It really depends on the course, but most of the time it's a pricing thing. So maybe we were talking about a project that was worth 2 to 3K, and my program is about $1,200. So that seems more reasonable for them, and maybe the 2 or 3K package, they were not ready to go for it at the time. So, you know, they kind of automatically then fit into the other category. So I've learned over time to really keep track of also the people who are maybe a good fit in terms of chemistry. You know, you can kind of feel it, that it would be a good relationship. But they're not ready to buy just then, because either you're talking about the wrong thing, or maybe they just sort of misinterpret it. Very often, I find that, especially with marketing, people can actually misunderstand what they actually need. So they might, after talking to you, realize that, no, that's not what they need right now. They need to go away and do something else before, like maybe create an offer, or, you know, improve their website or get a new one, or, you know, there's things to do before. So definitely keep a list of all the people that you would like to work with that did not work with you yet.
That's absolutely true. And you did mention a few minutes ago about potentially using a CRM. So for anybody that's unsure about what that is, it's like a database ultimately of the contact that you have, of the clients that you have, and a way of sort of logging conversations against them so that you can always go back into that client and understand very quickly when the last time you spoke to them was, what it was about, and what the outcome was. Do you have any CRMs that there are free ones available, I should say that. Do you have any CRMs that you particularly like or would recommend, or not particularly?
Yes, there are a couple that I like. When the agency was sort of face to face, we used to use the HubSpot CRM, which is free. And these days I use Insightly because it's much smaller. It's kind of a smaller package, especially if you're the only person that has face to face connections with the clients and the prospects, then it's actually free for one person, I believe. So, and it basically just a list, you know, you can have your contacts there. You can keep it really nicely organized because you can put in your emails, you can put in their social media links, which is really nice to have when you want to reconnect after a while, or you want to stay in touch with them, you know, at least once a month or once every 2 months. You want to make sure that you keep engaging with these people so that they actually remember that you're kind of in their orbit, you know?
Definitely.
And then it allows you to create tasks, which basically send reminders to your email and say, okay, this week, get in touch with this person and, you know, remind them about that conversation you had, for instance. So it's very simple. I like Insightly a lot. I've not upgraded to the pro version because I actually think it's got far more than you need in the free version. So if you have a large team, you might want to have, you know, more than 2 or 3 people on the package. So it's a very, very good tool. I also synchronize it using Zapier with my Asana because I like to have everything in one place.
Yeah, you see, that's there's the tool geek coming out in you.
The tool company, that was it.
I was going to add, I haven't seen Insightly before, actually. I've just pulled their homepage up, but we use a ClickUp board for our CRM because that means that we use ClickUp for everything else. So it means it's already in there. Mm-hmm. And we can just share the board with the people of the team that need to have access to it. So I'd fully recommend having a CRM in place. My biggest piece of advice, I suppose, from using a CRM after having worked with them in the previous agency I worked in before we set this up, we also used HubSpot CRM there. But it does seem like a lot of work to begin with. But actually, when you get into the rhythm of using it, which can take, as you said, very, very rightly, you know, it can take a number of weeks or even a month or two before you actually start seeing sort of the benefits of it. The benefits of having it in your business far outweigh the legwork that you have to put in up front to get it set up.
Absolutely. And, you know, people usually start off with an Excel sheet. So you can very easily start off with an Excel sheet where you have, you know, different lists, like your client lists, and, you know, prospects and people in the pipeline at the moment. So you can really use an Excel sheet. But I like the way that CRM systems allow you to see things visually, and the way they just remind you by dropping you an email, that's just, you know, you don't need to log in every day. That's just so much better than having to remember to go to your Excel sheet, you know?
Yeah. That is very true. Anything that can sort of prompt you to do this is even better. So that's brilliant. So one thing I just did want to sort of touch on as we sort of wrap up, because I think we've covered a whole host of stuff here that's really good for people to know, is you've actually put together a boot camp, haven't you, for people that don't necessarily have all of these things in place, so that they can very well, you'll actually take them through setting these things up so that they are ready to ready to operate. And you've also covered things like payments and contracts and stuff like that in there as well, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. You know, in the last couple of weeks, like you mentioned earlier, I received a few requests, you know, people asking me if I had a contract template, what I used for payments, and, you know, how it all works, and you know, how my scheduler works, and Zoom and all this stuff. And I've noticed also a lot of increased traffic on YouTube for these keywords. So yeah, I always check everything with keywords. So that's another compulsion I have. It seems like a lot of people at the moment really need to stop wasting time on YouTube, basically, because that's what's happening. You know, your systems can take quite a long time to put together if you're trying all the different tools, looking at YouTube tutorials, and, you know, it can really, you know, suck up weeks of your time. So what I've put together to help the people who reached out to me, but also it's a course that will go indefinitely, will go in my courses page on my website, because a lot of people I find that are not ready to buy from me are usually at the stage where they need this. So it's actually a perfect tool to put together. But I think the great thing is that, you know, you need to have a system where suddenly people are working from home, and you need to do two things that are really, really important. You need to stay professional. So when people, you know, when people, maybe even your existing clients reach out to you for a meeting, how do you process that? You know, and you need to have the tools in place, and also the systems, things like email templates, you know, contract templates, online signing, because who in this day and age is going to print a contract, sign it, and then send it back? If you're not going to meet them face to face, it becomes a very cumbersome process. So I think it's important for you to not only wow your clients and give them that extra value and make them feel like they're well taken care of, but also to be ready for internationalization, because, you know, I feel that as it's an opportunity, because once you've set yourself up with these processes, you're set up to sell things online. You're set up to actually sell your services to any person in the world, which is going to give you such an advantage, because as soon as things start picking up somewhere else, not necessarily in your own country, you can actually start selling again. So I think this is an opportunity, and that is why I kind of jumped right into it, because I know it's going to help so many people go international more quickly, if you know what I mean. And I think it's going to be really important for us to tap into different markets as they recover.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And actually, you know, there's loads of sort of inspirational posts going around at the moment on social media about the types of companies that were set up or that grew during times of economic hardship. And, you know, the lists are endless. And it's really about how you approach it. and to see the opportunities, to be able to have that flexibility and confidence in what you do in order to seek out the opportunities. And then, as you've rightly said, to make sure you've got the systems and processes in place and the software behind you in order to go and find those opportunities, I think is spot on. There will be a link to the bootcamp in the show notes. So if anybody wants to go and check it out, please just check out your show notes and there'll be a link directly over to it there. Stephanie, thank you so much for your time. It's been great to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Pete. I've really enjoyed our conversation. And, you know, I'm very happy you had me back. Thank you so much.
No problem at all. Lastly, if anybody does want to reach out to you online, what's the best place that they can find you?
They can find me on stephaniefiteni.com. So that's Stephanie with a PH. And the surname is F-I-T-E-N-I. And yeah, if you Google it, you'll just find me, because I think there's just a tennis player with my name, so you can tell the difference.
Well, and hopefully you're quite good at SEO, so you should be top spot.
Yes, I am.
Speak to you soon, Stephanie.